Welcome to the Brothers Chat podcast, where we discuss everything and anything football. I'm Tyro, as most of you already know. And we have one of my partners in crime. His name is Boaz, and he is the Chelsea politician. What's good?
Okay, thanks. I'm all right. It's been a good week.
Good to know. Good to hear. We've got the lovely Kiana, who's waving the Liverpool flag all the way from Canada. Welcome. We lost her. All right, we'll move on to Sanya, the diehard Spurs fan. And I can't lie, her speech the other day after the League Cup final gassed me. And I'm not even a Tottenham fan. So please, let's welcome the great, the not so graceful, depending on the Spurs result. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Spurs actually won a game. Complete disbelief.
Oh, no, there's a first time.
But yeah, I'm good. Bank holiday weekend. Haven't really been watching too much football, but yeah, we're here. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
No problem. So now that we've got all the pleasantries out the way, we can talk about arguably the biggest game in English football. Or at least that's what it was supposed to be until Manchester United fans, or thugs, as some people like to brandish them, took to Old Trafford. So, Boaz, I'll start with you. What was your reaction from what you heard or saw in and outside Old Trafford? And do you think it's something that was needed to happen, or do you feel as if it's to no avail?
Like, I definitely get the rhetoric behind it. Like, I get Man United fans are frustrated by Glazer's attitude to owning Man United, but the attitude's been the same since he came in. Like, I don't know why people are suddenly thinking that something's changed, because it's been there from the very beginning. And I don't think it's necessarily warranted to, like, storm a stadium, storm a pitch before, like, a pivotal game. But I guess the message has been sent to, like, the whole world that, like, you guys are unhappy. So, I don't know. I don't necessarily think it's the right way, but the message has been spoken. So, I guess the results have shown it is the right way. I'm not necessarily happy with it because I really did want to watch the match. I think it would have been an exciting one. I think it would have been, I guess, also pivotal in terms of the message it sends to Man City, whether they're winning the league or not, to some extent. But nah, kind of is what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Tanya, I'll get a subjective opinion. Obviously, there have been mass protests all over England, with all our respective football teams. Obviously, the protest outside Old Trafford was very big, to the point where fans were just walking onto the pitch itself and just kind of barricading themselves. So what did you think from what you heard and the fact that arguably the biggest game, like I mentioned, of English football got cancelled as a result? What do you think of that?
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I was out today and then I saw on my timeline all of these pictures of fans on the pitch, and I was thinking, hang on a minute, what's going on here? How did they get on the pitch? I was aware of the protest, but I was just thinking to myself, you know what? Credit to United fans. I think, look, I saw the pictures of the cameraman. Was it the cameraman, I believe, who got seriously hurt? Like, I saw someone had a really, like, bad gash on their forehead or something. Like, that I don't condone. But the reason I say credit to United fans is, you know, they're obviously very, very passionate and they want better for their football club. And I don't know the ins and outs of the Glazers, but from what I do know of them, I don't think fans are happy, you know, with the way they recruit, I guess. But some would argue you do still spend money. I don't know if Graham Souness was saying a few comments that I was hearing of that might have triggered a few United fans. But yeah, credit to the United fans. We were saying before, I wish the Spurs one was as big as the United fans and the Arsenal fans, right? Even the Chelsea ones that started off, because ours was absolutely dead. But yeah, I mean, whether it all makes a difference is another story. That's the thing. You kind of feel like it's all great protesting, but are these owners really going to sell up? I think the likelihood of that is unlikely. very, very unlikely. But
the thing is, why did it need to sell in the first place?
Yeah, they're in a great position.
I can really envision the Glazers just kind of sitting in their towers, like with their legs, feet up,
you know what I mean?
Themselves. And I'm like, you put all this effort and passion, you've got to give them kudos to it. But I don't know. I feel as if it's going to take a little bit more than that. I do like the protest because sometimes you got to force it to make change. Yeah, I don't know. I think it might be something they have to do consistently, like consistent protest until people actually start to take notice. Probably digress to the next one, unless anyone has anything to say on Manchester United. Obviously, a bit anticlimactic because it was the big game of the day.
This podcast is so Man United-centric. Like, how can we have like a Man United segment when there wasn't even a Man United game?
Yeah. The biggest club in the world.
It's a big talking point, though. It's a big talking point. What's I don't think we've ever seen like a game be postponed because fans are protesting about owners on a pitch. Like, that will never happen.
Chelsea could never do that, Boaz. They couldn't even dream of doing that.
That's because Roman Abramovich actually loves the club. That's the difference, unfortunately.
I think that's just your Chelsea bias.
Can I ask a question? Because what is it that United fans don't like about the Glazers? And I'm sorry if that comes across as ignorant from me, but what is it that they don't like about them? Is it, as I said, like, is it, I don't know, you can't really say lack of investment because you spend loads of money. So what is it?
Yeah. But you know what that's more down to, them spending money? I think because Man United are such a self-sustaining like entity, because they've essentially like taken money out of the club. I think it's something around the lines of like over 500 million.
Okay, yeah.
And like, it's just like, obviously you had the Super League thing. So they're essentially using Manchester United's collateral money that they've taken out. And it's just like...
Forgot about Super League. I forgot about the Super League, you know.
This podcast will no longer talk about Super League because we're just a bunch of unpopular opinions and we're going to leave it at that. So, I think essentially because it's so rotten from top to bottom, it's just like you've got things like the Glazers and it goes down to Ed Woodward. I know he resigned.
Yeah, he's gone.
He shouldn't even be in that position in the first place. Or he shouldn't have been. And then obviously you've got the recruitment side, like the managers that have been taken.
Yeah.
Players that have been recruited. So it kind of all falls from top to bottom. And it's kind of like, if you essentially put like football people that understood the ideology of the club, maybe we'll be in a better position.
Yeah.
It's not guaranteed we would be, but you know, you need to have people in the positions that like understand what's going on in and around the club. So... yeah, I think it's a collective thing. Keanu, it looks like we got you back.
No, Zoom is not my friend today.
Zoom is definitely not your friend today. But I'll pose you the question. What did you think from what you heard or saw of the protests outside Old Trafford? Obviously, it was supposed to be a big match that involved our two teams that didn't happen. What was your reaction?
The moment I heard that it was happening, I had a feeling in my gut that the match wasn't going to go on, right? It's just that mood now that there's just all this disruption and disorganization. And then you have like the Man City fans like on the edge of their seats waiting. I don't know why. Like I had my friends messaging me. It's just like, we just want this over and done with to just have it officially said. And I'm like, it is what it is, guys. Like it's going to happen for you. This rivalry. But, I don't know. I'm like, for me, I'm like a power to the people person, right? Like if you're unhappy with something, you need to be able to feel like you can demonstrate. And I'm just used to being on this side of the pond where it gets from 0 to 100, like really, really quickly. And I messaged you because I was just like, wow, someone got hurt. And I'm like, wait a second. Do police in the UK have guns? Like our perspective over on this side is just totally, totally different when it involves anyone going against the grain. So I was like, I was kind of worried. Obviously, you don't want people to get hurt. But at the same time, I'm sitting back wondering, like, when they're out there, like, are we seeing what's actually going on? Like, are people talking about racism as well? Are they talking about, you know, just online abuse, or is it just being unhappy with a club and how you think they're investing money? Because it's like, to me, it's bigger than that. But like, I'm a power to the people type person. And it's like, you have to be a disruptor sometimes to let people know that you see what's going on, and you want them to be accountable. Like, you want people to start pretending, or even not even pretending, stop pretending and acknowledge that there's so much more of an investment when it comes to like real supporters. Like the history behind some of the things that I hear people talk about when they talk about their clubs and, you know, their families and just like moments in their life. Like, it's very serious for a lot of people. And if they're out there, then do your thing. Just don't get hurt.
100%. Yeah, I use the moniker sometimes. Unprovoked violence is the best form of violence sometimes. Like I was saying earlier, sometimes you have to force change to make change.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hopefully, like I said, if you do it consistently, not just Old Trafford, Tottenham Hotspur, Arsenal, Liverpool, they can do it as a collective, then maybe these owners might think a little bit differently. I doubt it, but we'll see. But yeah, I'll move on from Manchester United, because Boaz is going to hold me up on it, because I know he hates Manchester United segments run. So I'll move on to the first match of the weekend. It was Crystal Palace beat Manchester City. Manchester City running out 2-0 winners. Jesus and one of the Premier League's favourite strikers, Sergio Aguero, getting a rare start in what looked like a 4-4-2 or a 3-4-3. I can't tell Pep these days, but Aguero showing everyone what he's all about, rifling it like a striker that hasn't started a game in months. So I'll ask the question, why doesn't Pep want to keep Aguero? I'll start with Tanya, actually.
I don't know, to be honest with you. I mean, I guess he's suffered with injuries, and I guess Man City want to look to the future now, and probably Aguero isn't in their long-term plans. And they want to look for like a Haaland, someone that's up and coming, maybe. But Aguero's still a decent player. Yeah, exactly. Aguero's still a decent player. And I'm actually interested to see where he will go. I could potentially see, I don't know, this might be a little bit outrageous, yeah, but I know Chelsea are looking for a striker. Maybe they might take him for a season. Who knows? Even Arsenal.
You got one over there shaking his head.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'd take Aguero. I would. I'd take him at Spurs as like a squad player. I would 100% take him. But Aguero's a squad player. Yeah, that's... why not? Why not with Harry Kane? Well, we might. Then you're one of the best
friends as well.
No, I just think Aguero. Like I said, I just think they've probably outlived him now, and they want to look to a younger player. I think they want a proper, you know, out and out striker that's going to start week in, week out. And I don't think Aguero is that guy anymore for them, but that's not to say he's not a bad player. I mean, he's probably one of the top players in Premier League history, in my opinion, you know, in terms of what he's achieved. So yeah, respect to Aguero. I love him. I love watching him play. It's a shame to see him go, really. But like I said, I don't think it'll be the end of him. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if like an Arsenal went in for him, perhaps, or even a Chelsea, maybe. We'll see.
I don't know. Like, I think, obviously, yeah. Like, I think Man City are probably parting ways with him just because he's just not consistent. Like, obviously, this season he's been hit with injuries and COVID and other issues, and I think they want a striker who is reliable and can play week in, week out, as you said. And I think even though Guardiola is quite keen on having like a number nine sort of esque player, I think he's slightly changing. I think he is kind of seeing the strengths of having like an out and out striker, a striker who, yeah, has goals for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Would I take him at Aguero, that is, at Chelsea? I don't know. Like, he's like, don't get me wrong, he's a great player. Like, he's got what, one of the best goals.
Take him over Werner.
He's got one of the best goals per minute. Like, he's a striker that we need for sure. correct. However, I don't want a player that will be coming in and out of the starting lineup at Chelsea. Even though Tuchel's really keen on rotation, I want a striker that's consistent. We've already had Giroud, and obviously I think Giroud can probably score goals as good as Aguero. Not the same level, but same sort of similar in terms of like...
I don't know about that one.
Being that sort of like elder statesman who has experience and scores goals, Giroud can do that. However, you see...
All right, talking about Aguero, one of the best Premier League strikers in history. No disrespect to Giroud. Like, I love him as a striker.
Giroud's the best target out there,
but you're talking about Aguero.
Levels.
The big hitter in the Premier League. And you're telling me you wouldn't take him if you had the opportunity.
Look.
Especially with the strikers you're dealing with right now. Let me not even get into it.
If I had to be honest, Mane and Firmino are having worse stats than Werner, just saying. But
I
apologize. Got a bit defensive. But what I'm trying to say is, don't get me wrong, like Aguero is a great player. And if he was to come to Chelsea, I'm not gonna be like crying over it and being upset. But what I am saying is, whether you're paying 200k a week for a player who's only gonna be playing 10 games a season. Maybe not. What I would like is us to invest in some sort of striker for the future, a striker who's consistent, a striker who I know will be in the lineup week in, week out. So if I had to be perfectly honest, I hate to say this, but I'd much rather get Ings to Aguero just due to reliability in the starting lineup. But Aguero, he's a good player. No, don't get me wrong. Like, he's probably one of the best strikers in Premier League history. Don't get me wrong. But I just don't think now is the right time to be joining Chelsea. Like,
fair enough.
Aguero joining Chelsea is like Cavani going to Man United. It's not a bad shout. He'll get you goals. He'll get you the goals that you need. But is that what I want right now? I'd much rather invest in a long-term solution rather than a short-term investment.
Okay. When you put it like that, I get more of a long-term solution.
Just a suggestion, you know? Just a suggestion.
I don't think it's a suggestion, to be honest. Has made a compelling argument.
Sounds like he's more concerned about the price tag.
Yeah.
Well, I am the politician, as Tyler likes to call
me. He is the Chelsea.
But yeah, like, I just think, like, if I had to think, like, diplomatically about it, even though he's a free transfer, so you've got nothing really to lose. But I just think that, yeah, I'd just much rather, like, long-term solutions. And I think there is a project happening at Chelsea, and I think to have Aguero in it, I think might slightly alter that long-term projection of Chelsea. If you think about the young stars which are in Chelsea at the moment.
I'll go to you. If you're Jurgen Klopp, are you taking Sergio Aguero?
I would actually like to see our team fit before we start making major additions or subtractions. Like right now, it's just all over the place. And right now we don't have anyone that would suit a formation. I don't even know what that formation is going to be, to be honest. When we saw Thiago come in and Jota come in, I felt like there was going to be a change to our formation. But with everything that's gone on this season, are we going to implement a system that includes a striker? I'm not sure. So I'd like to see what the plan was working around the players that we brought in and have that run without, you know, any injury concerns, or just see what we have, what we can work with, and then decide if Aguero would fit into that. I would take Aguero. Like, it is what it is. And, you know, with the system that Man City has, it's so he comes back, he's fit, but then where does he fit into the lineup? And I feel like, you know, he's no young chicken, no spring chicken, right? So I feel like with players like that, you need to get them in when they're good and utilize them. And so imagine being fit and then just still not getting into the rotation and you're just sitting there. But again, he also comes with a price tag, right? So I would not turn down Aguero, because if we had him, he would definitely produce. So I wouldn't turn him down. I just don't even know what we're working with after everyone's healthy anyways.
Yeah. You mentioned Jota. I think he's been a really good player for you. And I feel as if he's a player that based their team around. So I feel as if he's definitely one for the future. Guerrero for me, I feel like he gets in straight for Firmino. Much as we all love to eulogize about Firmino being a great defensive striker, you need your striker.
Defensive striker? Is that what people are saying?
I'm pretty sure that's been a general consensus amongst Liverpool fans. Correct me if I'm wrong. But they invented the position.
I've never heard
Firmino,
that.
Calling me a defensive striker. Never ever heard that before.
I've personally not heard that on our side. But you know,
might be more on our side then.
He can be a striker. He's a competent striker, but that's not the role that he's been asked to play, right? So again, if we change our formation, could that be an alternative to Firmino? Could that be a backup to Firmino? Like, I don't even know what we're gonna play anymore. Like, I feel like every time our lineup comes up, I'm surprised most of the time. So I don't know what the plans are when we have a fit squad and what the plan was before everything happened in October.
Yeah, fair enough. Quick question on City. I was going to run through the match, but I don't really want to run through the match because everyone knows City are going to win the league anyway. So I'll move on to the European side of things. Obviously, Manchester City are leading 2-1 on aggregate against PSG. Do you feel as if City can finish the job, or is there a sleeve up? Pochettino's sleeve.
I was really like frustrated with that game because obviously I've got a bit of a soft spot for PSG.
Oh, you're a bit of a Pochettino stan, Tanya.
Of course.
Yeah.
But not just for that reason. I love Neymar and Mbappe, right? They completely annihilated City in that first half for me. But of course, City in that second half, they're a different animal. And you have to say they deserved it. They deserved to win that game. And PSG, they just couldn't cope with City. And that's why, what's his name, got sent off, which was a stupid challenge.
A disgusting challenge.
Very, very, very disgusting. But I don't want to write PSG off because anything's possible, especially when you've got players like Neymar and Mbappe. But I'm hearing Mbappe's injured and I don't know if he's going to be fit for that second leg. So... yeah. I don't know. I think it's going to be difficult for PSG to come back because I genuinely think it could be City's year. I just think it's not like them other years where Pep's overthinking it and, you know, he's bottling it now. I think this time he wants that trophy and I think it might happen. Annoyingly, I think it might happen.
So, all right. So you're predicting City are going to win.
Yeah, which means, sadly.
If Pochettino doesn't win the Champions League, coupled with potentially no league on title either. I mean, should that be considered a failure?
I think so. 100%. That's not good enough. I mean, if he doesn't win the French league, then that's not good because that's always a given, right? That's always a given. I think if he wins that, but he doesn't win Champions League, I think they're not going to sack him because I think Champions League is something they just seem to struggle with all the time. I don't know if it's mentally they just, I don't know. They know that they have to win it and they just can't get over the line. But yeah, I think it is a failure. But one thing I'll say about Poch though, he does have his flaws. And I'm one of them Spurs fans that did acknowledge this even when he was our manager. Like the substitutions, he didn't really make any substitutions in that game. And I just think, come on, Poch, man. I thought you left that behind you when you was at Spurs. Don't bring that to PSG. Come on. You know, his in-game management sometimes, I just think it's not the best. Yeah. It's not the best. But yeah, no, it would be a massive failure if you don't get Champions League or win the league. Massive, massive failure. But we'll see what happens. We'll see.
I'm crossing my fingers and hoping that Mbappe comes back and scores a hat-trick.
I know, me too. Honestly, I want Poch to win that Champions League so bad.
I want Pep to just fail. Not me being a Pep player.
I wonder why.
I've got the red cap on, but hey, like I'm trying to be unbiased. But Kiana, I'll move it on to you. I mean, do you think it's considered a failure if Pochettino doesn't win any trophies at PSG? And do you think Man City can actually do it?
I don't want them to. I don't care for them to. I support PSG, so I want them to win. There's so much riding on it. Like I just want the chats to stop with Neymar and him not being able to show up. I want people to stop these comparisons. I just want the club to get this, because you know what, they've made a lot of adjustments. And everybody just keeps putting it up to them having this like infinite bag of money. But like this is a talented squad. And even with that, there's still people talking like it's just impossible for them to do it. Like Kenny was saying, it's just like the substitution. There was no adjustment after that first goal. And it was just like you just saw them just completely disintegrate. Like they just fell apart. They lost shape. Like people were just dancing. Like Mars was just dancing into the box. And I'm like, what is happening? Like there was just no adjustment. And I feel like that's where you come in as a coach and just even if it's just one substitution that you think is going to change the pace of that game. And that's what they needed at that time. And that didn't happen. So it was just that one goal. Then you just see them kind of just deflate, lose shape. And then and I was just like, what is really, like, it was unreal to watch. And it was sad to watch. And then I saw like after, I believe it was the second goal, then I kind of saw like Neymar just like turn on. But at that point, it's just like, now you decide to, you want to be the person to take that into your, you know, into your hands. And is that enough at that point? No. So I don't know. I think it would be, yeah, of course it's a failure if you don't win a league title, but I want them to do it. I think they can do it. We have the squad too. That the news about Mbappe scares me for sure. But
it's breaking my heart every time I keep hearing it.
That's the key to it. So I don't know. We will see. I don't want Man City to win anything.
I think that's pretty unanimous in this room. Boaz, what's your take on it? Do you feel as if PSG can do it, or
Man City? I think it's a tight game. Like I think. I'm biased, but I think both of these ties are quite tight and quite open, and I think anything can happen. I'm inclined to agree with Tanya in the terms of Guardiola doesn't seem to be overthinking it for the first time. Like he seems to literally, he seems to be relaxed about it. And I think one thing which I've noticed is I think he's put all his eggs in one basket. Like he's resting players. Mm. For quite unimportant games.
Like, to be fair, you can afford to win those, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But like, even in the semi-final against Chelsea in the FA Cup, like he rested half his team. And I think it just goes to show that his most important thing is to win the Champions League. And I think things are falling in the right place where he's in a position to rest players for like the Premier League as well, because it's basically his. I think this might be the year. Do I want it to be? Probably not. But I'm not going to be too surprised if Guardiola is the one lifting the trophy.
Mm. Oh, scared you'd say that. But yeah, okay. That's a
not what you wanted to hear. I'm
expecting something a little bit different from Boaz, but he just kept it as diplomatic as he possibly could. So that's fine. I'll accept it for what it is. But we'll move on to the next game. One of Boaz's favourite teams, or Boaz's favourite team, Chelsea. 2-0 winners at Fulham. Before I get into the match, I'm going to reel off some facts and stats on Timo Werner.
Oh my God, coming for seats. Oh my God.
He has 11 goals and 10 assists in all competitions. The first Chelsea player to do so in his debut season since a certain Eden Hazard. So, Boaz, should we lay off Timo Werner?
I think Werner's a very good talent. Like, I think you need to understand that he isn't the typical striker or like your Haalands or your Haalands. Like, he isn't that out and out striker, but like.
Kane?
Pardon?
Yeah, I was waiting for you to say Kane.
Kane exists?
Haalands or Haalands is what I heard.
Haaland or Haalands? Interested.
Okay. Haaland's world class. Kane.
What?
No, I'm joking. Kane is world class.
I was about to leave.
He's trying to treat you, Daniel. Don't buy it.
Okay.
I love agendas. But Werner's different. He's a different sort of breed. And I think everyone's eyeing him for his, like, his misses. And true, his misses are shocking. However,
I mean, the guy's got a track list. He's got his own track list.
But he's providing. Like, he's assisting. He's
he does provide. I'll give him that.
And so, yeah, so there are some things.
So, Daniel, what's your opinion on Timo Werner? Do you feel as if we're going in a little bit too hard on him because he's of his deficiencies in front of goal? Or
the thing is, when they signed him and all of these players, I was expecting Chelsea to be challenging for the Premier League. I think everybody was. Yeah. And Timo Werner, you know, he's a very good player. Like, I remember him when we played Leipzig, he absolutely destroyed us. Yeah. Like, he is lethal. So, of course, you do have that expectation there. It's not worked out for him at Chelsea. He's just can't keep up with the Premier League. I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, yeah, because on my podcast, we were talking, you know, it's been 5 games, give him time, give him time. But there's only so much time you can give a player and until you want to see some sort of output. And yeah. I haven't seen enough. And the misses, I have to say, like, they're terrible. Like, they're so bad.
Now, I've mentioned it in previous podcasts. Obviously, certain players need to acclimatize themselves and get used to the league. But the misses that I've seen, there's no amount of acclimatization.
There's no excuse. It's hard to miss.
That you need to go through for you to miss that chances, those chances. It's just, it's absolutely ridiculous. But for me, I do feel as if he's a good player, but I don't think he's a prolific.
The thing is, the minute he does start scoring, it's dangerous because, you know, as Boaz was saying, he is providing still for the team. You know, he does work very hard. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's confidence. Obviously, psychologically, players, if they know they keep missing chances, that's them. They're mulling over the chances that they've missed constantly. So that could be something to do with it. But look, the minute he starts scoring goals, I'm a bit worried. But I want to see.
I'll be honest. I don't miss it like that.
No, you don't.
I don't even think he's the goal. No, to me, he just doesn't seem like a prolific centre forward. I know he scored over 30 goals in the Bundesliga, but
I
think the Bundesliga is a bit tax.
Yeah,
it's Bundesliga tax. Let's talk about the Bundesliga tax when it comes to Timo Werner. You feel as if he can be a prolific? You're just shaking your head. You're saying no, adamantly. He's not Chelsea can rely upon.
No, I'm just not sure because it's obvious the transition is affecting him. And just like Tanya was saying, when you have a certain price tag and there's a certain expectation of what the output is supposed to be, that is a lot of pressure. And when I see like memes and people's comments about like Chelsea supporters, like people are like, oh, the pitch is too hard or the grass is too soft.
Wait,
or,
hold on a second. Who said the pitch is too hard?
That doesn't even make sense.
No. It doesn't make sense, but it's them making excuses for it. You know, like they're just taking jabs at the fact that there's no, like, what are we seeing? Or what are we seeing that backs that price tag or backs that expectation? Like, people are just not seeing what they expected, and it's like, how long are you supposed to wait for that to happen with that price tag? Like, I expected them to come out smashing people, and it was like, it was a disaster to watch at first. And I was just like, I have a friend that supported Chelsea, and I was like, how much did you guys spend again? And I'm like, okay, so I guess we just need to be patient. Well, you can do that. That's your club. Like, I've moved on. Like, it's like I tuned in to see the show and I didn't see anything. So I just went back to a regular scheduling program. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not impressed. I don't have any expectations for him. But with all the chat behind it, I don't see anything. But yesterday's match, like, I saw, I see the progression, but it's like, how, if I was a supporter, I would be impatient at this point. Like, I don't watch him enough to be as frustrated as a lot of these supporters are. But yesterday I thought he had a great game. That assist that he had, I thought it was fantastic. Like, those are the type of assists I want to see as stats, because it was just such a well-placed ball. And I'm like, oh yeah, this guy is still contributing to the team. But I'm also a Tammy Abraham like supporter too. So I'm kind of like, what's going on?
Really?
With your
really?
What's happening?
I don't know. Is a Tammy Abraham supporter, and he's a Chelsea.
You know what? I like Abraham. Like, he's a great guy. You know, great personality, great vibes. Is he the striker I want to be leading
exactly.
Chelsea?
No.
Top 14 in Europe.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. I just don't think he's ready for that. Like,
I think he's probably at the same...
He's the same level as Bamford, if I had to be honest.
Don't
disrespect Bamford. Like
Bamford's
that.
Better than Abraham. I think Abraham's dead. I can't lie to you.
Yeah, disrespect Patrick Bamford like that.
Didn't
it? Levels.
They're different sort of strikers, though.
He's just playing better.
You compared them. You started the comparison.
The only reason I compared them is they're both like Chelsea graduates, Chelsea youth system graduates.
Right.
But Abraham is like, you know, the sort of poacher, you know, similar to like, you know, I'm not going to put any comparisons because you're probably Van Nistelrooy. Anyway,
how the hell did you manage to slide Van Nistelrooy to this conversation?
Tyler, it was a joke. Rich is not here for unpopular opinion, so I feel like I need to fill that void.
The joke's on.
I don't think he's at Van Nistelrooy's level, but I do think he's like, he's at the right place at the right time sort of striker. But I don't think, I just don't think he's good enough for a top 14. He's like a mid-level sort of striker.
Fair enough.
But,
back to Timo Werner, do you still feel as if he has a big role to play at Chelsea?
Yeah, I'm definitely frustrated watching him, but I actually like him in the starting lineup. Like, I don't see him as like the place where I'm going to get lots of goals. But I do see him as pivotal to the way Chelsea play. He may not contribute with goals at the back of the net, but his runs are pivotal in creating space for other players. Yeah. His runs are pivotal in assisting and getting behind the lines. And if he could score, it would have been great. But I do think he is quite pivotal in creating those passes which are required. So like the pass for Ziyech where he missed is a pass which is actually quite difficult to achieve. And he's been doing that countless times during the season. Ziyech has actually got quite a lot of goals just by assist through Werner and keeping by the side of him. So I'm just not too disappointed. I'm actually quite happy to have him in the team, but I just don't see him as a striker.
You like how Gabriel played him yesterday kind of off the left and then he played Havertz almost as that false nine?
I think Tuchel's realising that. I think Tuchel has actually given up hope in him being a striker. But I think he's realised the strength. He's realised the strength that he does have.
Yeah.
And without the confidence, he's actually able to do it week in, week out. He's a better version of Pulisic. At this current moment in time in Pulisic's form, if I were to compare them, they play quite similar.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Quick question for you, Kiana. Are you happy that Werner didn't join Liverpool? Because there were rumours that he could have joined Liverpool before he decided to join Chelsea.
I don't know. I remember that rumour vaguely, but it just wasn't anything that stuck into my mind as like a instrumental change that the club needed. Would he be an asset? Like I see now, like I was saying earlier, I see where there's progress and could he fit in our system for sure with our forwards, but I'm not mad because I'm not really seeing the output that everyone expected, but it is what it is. If he joined, he joined. If he didn't, he didn't. I don't miss him.
Makes sense.
I don't feel like it's a loss to be honest, but I do see how he fits into your squad. I get what you're saying. And I don't know, I hope that, you know, players like this, when they get that's just it. I even feel weird saying confidence. I just feel like it's just, you just kind of have to see how you fit into a squad. And sometimes you come in. So if he was expected to be a striker and he comes in and that's just not how it fits, to keep trying to force that doesn't make sense because you still have a bunch of people that you have to work around. If that system's not working, it affects everybody. So I kind of like what you're saying, where he's in a role that works, and if that's what works for the team and goals are still happening, that's a bonus.
Contributing to the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I think it'll be worse. I think it'll be worse if he wasn't contributing at all. Wasn't giving you assists, wasn't giving you goals, losing the ball, which is what Havertz was doing at the very beginning when he was finding it hard to kind of like assimilate himself. But I think that one thing which people fail to kind of recognize is things are not going for him. But regardless of that, he's contributing week in, week out.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's very hard for me to see a game where he hasn't, like, I don't know, created a key chance in the game.
Yeah. He's a threat. He's an option. He's just not putting the goals in the back of the net, but he's still creating chances and still like advancing the ball. Like he's still like key to how you guys are performing.
100%.
I didn't think we'd spend this long talking about Timo Werner. I'm happy about that because
we spent longer talking about Martial.
Oh my
God. Oh wow, that would have been an interesting conversation. I can imagine.
Oh, yeah, I'll stand over here, but you know. We'll move on to another Chelsea player. I'll read some extracts on what Tuchel had to say on this guy. I'm paraphrasing, so don't kill me if I get anything wrong, Boaz. Mason Mount. And Tuchel basically said he has the full package mentally in terms of talent and physicality. He is a guy who can recover very fast. He's a very physical player and is fully adapted to the Premier League. He is a nice guy that's not affected by all the praise. What do you think of that, Boaz?
I'm probably Mount's biggest fan, and I've been his biggest fan since he was at Derby.
A little bit.
Like, I watched him under Lampard at Derby, and I think I was able to see his raw talent in its purest form. And I think no one really realised that till now, where the plaudits are coming, thankfully, even still not from others. But I think, yeah, he literally has it all. Like, he's able to fit any system you put him in. He's able to do everything that you need from a midfielder, whether it's creating chances, whether it's technique, whether it is flair, or whether it's just working hard and being defensive. And I think in the modern day age where you're counter-pressing and pressing from the front, he's able to do that at the best way possible. And he's versatile. He can play in pretty much all positions if you really wanted him to. And I think he's really now, yeah, just shining. Like, the touch he had for that assist to Havertz, that's probably one of the best assists. I think it should win top assist of the season.
Let's not go overboard with that.
But like, that touch was
let's humble ourselves a bit.
That touch was impeccable. The pass was impeccable. The run to even get in that position, he ruled out two defenders.
Like that, it sounds good, but it's not.
Oh my God! I would give him that. That was nice. I watched that match. Leave it.
What's the best assist?
It was
what assist is better?
Maybe the best Chelsea assist.
No, but what assist is better?
Can you that explanation. I'll have to watch it back a few more times, but I'm not.
You know what? The fact of the matter is, this will stay in many people's memories for a very long time. And I think that's what shows it's a great assist.
Okay. Tanya, what did you think of Mount's assist performance?
Yeah, I love Mason Mount. I think he's been one of your best players of the season. And I saw a few Chelsea fans, like, towards sort of halfway or start of the season, giving him so much slander. And I've never really understood it. I think he's such a talent, and he definitely needs to be at the Euros, and I'm sure he will be. But yeah, no, I really like Mason Mount. I really, really like him, and yeah, good performance from him. Again, he always plays well. This is the thing. He always plays well for Chelsea. His work rate is impeccable, and I have to say, his fitness, like, does he get injured for a start? I mean, the guy just plays minute after minute, and that work rate is still there. No, I love him. I mean, I never thought I'd say that about a Chelsea player, but I have to say, I'm very, very jealous that they've got such a young talent. And yeah.
He plays week in, week out, 90 minutes every game. Yeah, like, it's very rare that he substitutes.
He's not normal. He's not human. He must be a robot. He must be.
And he's got a great personality. Like, he's actually hard. Like, if you listen to his interviews, he's hard not to like. Anyway.
He's a nice guy. Yeah.
Do you concur with all the sentiments? Mason Mount being potentially Chelsea's player of the season. I can't argue that. Like, he's been their most consistent player, and he's performed week in, week out, and he's barely put a foot wrong. So, yeah,
that's just it. He's consistent and he just always looks determined. Like, if he loses a ball, he's back on it. Like, he's just one of those people that aren't going to let, if he's dispossessed, like he just doesn't stop. And you see sometimes guys will stop and put their hand on their hip, or they drop on the ground and they stay on the ground. Like, I don't know, that guy's work ethic is serious. And it's just, you see that, but then you still see so much more potential because he's young, determined. If he's on my fantasy Premier League team, he's a thing, because I have him and I was just like, man, how did I overlook this? But it's like, you hear people talking about him. Yeah. Just at the beginning of the season, I'm like, okay, the team is not doing well, but I'm like, but he's always doing well. So I think that kind of got overlooked at the beginning. And then when things start to shape up, then it's just like, oh yeah, this guy's really been putting in work. So I hope he's appreciated, because I think he's definitely a talent. I recognize it, and he's definitely consistent. That's a fact.
Definitely. I think if he wasn't appreciated before, he's definitely appreciated now, in terms of how much better he's got as the season has gone on. And just to kind of add on to Tanya's point, I think he'll definitely go to England. I feel as if technically he's very good, and he can play a lot of different systems as well. He's very multifaceted, very versatile, like Bo has mentioned. So yeah, I think he'll definitely go to England. And
and he's unselfish. He's not a selfish player.
100%. So you want a Mason Mount in your team.
Question for you, Taiwo.
Huh?
Question for you.
Go on.
So you've acknowledged that Mount's a great player.
Yeah.
If you had to compare him with the
don't do it.
No? You don't want it?
Don't
it's controversial. Madison Foden, where would you rank Mount? Where are you going to do it?
Me, for my personal preference, I'm picking Jack Grealish.
Yeah, 100%.
Jack Grealish.
So let's rank them.
Oh, for me?
Yeah.
If you're based on this season alone,
it's hard, you know.
Just generalization.
Generalization, let's go with that.
Okay, so Grealish, Madison, Mount.
What about Foden?
But Foden, I don't even put him in that category. Foden's just in a completely different stratosphere.
I think Madison's at the bottom for me. And I rate Madison, but I think it'd have to be Foden, Grealish, Mount.
I don't even put Foden in that conversation. For me, he's in a completely different stratosphere to these guys.
It's true.
I call him Starboy Foden for a reason. He's just something completely different. So I kind of just leave it as Madison, Grealish.
My God, have you heard? Basically, the Mirror are reporting that Manchester United could be deducted points and fined after fans stormed into Old Trafford.
Tanya, we don't do clickbait on this pod.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's just come up on my phone. Sorry. That's crazy, though.
Do it. Deduct points.
So they deduct points for that, yeah. But when it comes to racism, racist fans.
Let's not even get into the politics.
That's going to trigger me, though. Anyway, carry on.
Get into the politics of this. No, I'm not doing it. I refuse. I'm not doing it. But going back to it.
Out of all of them, Madison's at the bottom for me, anyway. Yeah. I think he's a good player.
I agree.
But I just don't think he has enough. I don't think he's versatile enough, and I think he's quite one-dimensional. No offense, but he's good at what he does.
Yeah.
I would actually put Mount and Grealish slightly above Mount, but I think they're quite similar in what they do, and I think they're quite pivotal. I think both of them can actually hold a team and carry a team, and they're quite creative-minded and think about the team more about them than themselves. Obviously, Grealish is older than Mount, has a bit more experience, but I definitely think that Mount could be there in a year or two if you just give him the game time. But yeah, Grealish is definitely better than Mount as things currently stand. And then yeah, Foden is just in a world of his own. Like the things he does, it's just effortless.
Yep, it's just nice to watch.
I said, if you're Gareth Southgate and you've got any sense, you're playing Mount and Grealish as number eights, and you're putting Rice in a single pivot for me. That's the one player. But I will ask a quick question. I'll start with you, Baz. Can Chelsea win the double this year?
Yes. Next question.
That was a silly
question.
Confidence. No, so don't get me wrong. It's gonna be hard. It's gonna be difficult. I think first of all we'll get top four. I think that's almost not necessarily guaranteed, but the way results are falling.
Hold on, you changed your tune.
I said it's not guaranteed.
You weren't sure last week.
Really?
No, you said
what? Leicester's draw yesterday made me really like optimistic. I think West Ham are also faltering as well. So I think top four is like basically there. I don't want to get too cocky and I don't want things to like, you know, come back to bite me, but we'll get top four.
Man City and Arsenal. Yeah. Man City and Arsenal next few weeks as well. It's obviously not gonna be easy, guys.
It's not gonna be easy, but we've got some points that we could potentially lose before being at top four is at risk. And we beat Man City before. And I think the way we're structured, we could beat Arsenal. FA Cup against Leicester. I think the Leicester team, as things currently stand, isn't as good as it used to be. I think they'll be difficult to play against, but the defence that we have, the robustness of our structure, I think we can break down a Leicester team.
Okay.
Champions League out of all of these, is the hardest challenge. Playing Real Madrid will be difficult. So we got the away goal. And fingers crossed, we will get the victory against Real Madrid. I think the way we're structured, once again, makes us very hard to break down. And I think all we need is that counter-attack chance and for us to score a goal. So we'll make it through. Most likely it'll be Chelsea versus Man City in the cup final, Champions League. And I think that's where my comment before about Gabriel and not overthinking things comes back to bite me.
I'm going to boycott that final if that happens.
Watch RT versus Man City.
I used to watch that final. No.
I know. I don't want that. Two English clubs. I don't want it for Europa either. Man United, Arsenal.
That's big. That's big. But Chelsea,
I'm a United fan. 100%.
Yeah. But yeah, I'll pass on the question to you, Tanya. Do you feel as if Chelsea can do the double? Can they win the FA Cup? Can they shithouse their way to the Champions League?
I think they'll win the FA Cup. I think Chelsea fans are allowed to be confident on that. Champions League, you know what? Before the Real Madrid game, I actually said they've got no chance against Real Madrid. I just think the experience they have, this is their competition. But the way they played in that leg, like really and truly, if your strikers were put in a way, they could have beaten Real Madrid like by 3 goals. So after seeing that, I'm kind of like, they could actually sneak themselves into that final. And they have beaten City already. So if we're saying that City could go through, you know what? It could go either way. So you can't really say Chelsea can't win the double. I just think it's not certain at the moment. I'll say they'll definitely win the FA Cup. Champions League, it's not impossible, but I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure if they'll do it.
Yeah, they definitely put themselves in a good position.
100%.
Yeah, you can't exactly write them off.
Sorry for interrupting, but yeah, I just think that I'm passionate about Chelsea, I'm sorry. But I just think that it takes something spectacular.
So. Your club.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, but I just think it takes something spectacular to score against Chelsea. Like you saw that against Roma.
Yeah, you're so Benzema happy.
To score.
Yeah.
Benzema took a lot to score against us. So I just think that, it's like a better version of Mourinho in the sense of like, it's not going to, like, we're not going to win like 6-0, let's face it. But what we are going to do is think about things tactically. We're going to be strategic, hold the ball, dominate, and score our chances. 1 or 2-0. But it's entertaining football, though. That's what I would say. I like watching Chelsea play.
I agree with everything up until that last part. What do you think about Chelsea's chances this season?
I really like I'm not even trying to say it to seem any type of way, but I've only really paid attention to Chelsea as they entered Champions League, because then I'm just like, wow, something is actually working here.
Chelsea are actually doing something.
I came in at the beginning and I was like, they spent how much on who? And I came in and I was just like, thing happening here. So I'm just like, let me just tune back out. It's not my club. But then you just see like certain key players pop up and show up. And I said, like I said, once they're in my fantasy Premier League team, I'm actually paying attention to them. And I'm like, okay, this actually seems like
that's when you start to take notice. That's when the eyes start.
But it is what it is. I'm not saying I'm cheering for them. Like, I definitely want them to score points on my squad, but Champions League. But FA Cup first, I don't see why not. Yeah. Like it is what it is. Like, it would have to be, I don't know, something like a real stumbling block. Like, it just seems like everything is working, working well enough for them to be where they are. Do they deserve to be where they are based on how they're playing? Yeah. So I'm not mad at that. Champions League, I want to see PSG pull it off. So
that's
how I feel about that.
So Boaz, the Chelsea segment.
You know, I'm really happy. I've got one more question there. I need to drag this out because this is the only time.
You mean all the airtime you could possibly have. What more questions could you have on Chelsea?
I just want one final question, Havertz. I know you had things to say about him at the very beginning of the season. You didn't think he was up for it. You think he was overrated, overvalued.
Yeah, I'd agree with that as well.
I think you're getting me confused with someone else, Boaz. I never said that.
I don't know. I think you can't.
For Richard.
Man United,
I said that it's going to take him at least a year to acclimatise himself, or at least a season.
Yeah, he's only young, I've isn't he? Isn't he like 20 years old?
Yeah, I've always rated Kai Havertz. I just think it's going to take him a while. Go talk to your mother about that.
what were you going to say, Tanya?
I think, given the price tag, and given his start to the season, I was expecting more than what I've seen. But I know he's been injured and we're starting to see him come into his own a little bit now. So I think he still needs a bit of time. But again, I think people just are very quick to get onto these players and they don't perform because they come in for that much money. And this hype that is placed on these players. So when they don't live up to it, you start thinking to yourself, this guy's a flop. Yeah. Like, it's just the way it is. It's just it goes with the territory, doesn't it? I mean, how much did you pay for him? Was it like 8? I mean, that's nuts.
Your record signing, Boaz?
That is nuts.
Something like that. I think it was like, what, 74 plus add-ons?
You know what? Abramovich needs to give Tottenham some of that money, boy, because he clearly just has so much to give away.
Just throwing out the money.
That's a lot.
He's worth it,
though.
I think in terms of potential and what he could do and longevity, then definitely.
Yeah.
And I feel as if he's definitely one to look out for next season. I feel as if he's had that bedding in period. I feel as if he's going to have a strong showing towards the end of the season. And hopefully for Chelsea fans, that carries over into next season.
Yeah, because I think he's probably worth at this moment in time about 50 mil, give or take, given the current market and things.
Shouldn't really argue with that, to be fair.
Yeah.
But he's young, he's got potential, and I think that's what we paid the extra 20 mil, essentially.
Yeah.
In 3 years' time, he's probably going to be world class. Right, I'll put money on that.
Not enough.
Wow, okay.
But it's time for us to move on.
You know what? Thank you. Thank you for entertaining this. I appreciate it. I'm a happy man. I'll sleep happy tonight.
Aww. You're lucky.
Aww.
But we will move on to the Spurs side of things, and I'm sure Tanya will love it. Tanya, Spurs, 4-0 victors. Your boy, Gareth Bale, rolling back the years in what was his first hat-trick in English football.
Yeah.
What do you think? And Spurs' performance?
I mean, the word Spurs offends me still. I just think it's been such a poor season and such a frustrating season. I struggle to talk about Tottenham, to be quite honest with you. I mean, we've been through a lot, you know, getting knocked out of the Europa League by a team whose manager was in prison. We bottled another final. So, yeah, you know, it's been a great season. But I wasn't really, I didn't have any feelings for this game. I'll be honest with you. When you have nothing left to play for, it's very difficult to get excited about a game. Obviously, Sheffield United are already relegated. I expected us to win. It was nice to see Gareth Bale get a hat trick. 3 lovely goals, I have to say. Should have started the League Cup final, but anyway, we'll leave that to Ryan Mason. Good goal by Son as well. But the thing with Tottenham and some of these players is I'm not going to get excited because they're just too inconsistent and they don't turn up when they need to. In the big moments, they're not there. So for me to get carried away by this result would be very silly of me, but it was good to see us dominate, have decent spells of possession and actually be, you know, forward thinking on the ball. I think if we were still under Jose, I think we would have probably gone into our shells in the second half, sat back, but we actually still continue to go for it. And Ryan Mason made attacking substitutions and that's what I liked. You know, that's the difference. Whereas, you know, a Jose Mourinho substitution is a Sissoko and all of these kind of players. But, you know, he was bringing on Bergwijn, bringing on Lamella and bringing on... Yeah, so yeah, it was a good performance. But as I said, it's difficult to really feel anything for Spurs at the moment because it's done. I don't think top four is possible, I'll be honest. I just think we've blown so many opportunities to capitalise and... I just think Chelsea are too good. I still think Leicester are better than us, West Ham. So I just think focus of the season should just be get momentum and try and win every game and just finish as strong as we can, isn't it? But I will say the midfield, for me, I saw a tweet, right? And I might actually read it out if I can find it. But it was something about our midfield and the players. You know, there's about altogether 3 assists. And
you have a midfield not, today? Was it Lo Celso?
So Dele played. Yeah. Yeah. So we had Lo Celso and Dele played today, which was interesting to see. I thought he had a decent-ish game. I didn't think he started off well. You know what Dele's like? Sometimes he can slow the game down and be quite wasteful on the ball. But I think he grew into it. But I just think our midfield, I know we talk about our defence, but our midfield for me, I'm not quite sure about it. Like Lo Celso, he's a player that divides so much opinion. And I was watching him today and I can kind of see why now. I've had his back a little bit. I've seen he's quite young, you know, give him a bit of time. He's been injury prone. But I watch him and I'm like, what are you actually there to do? You're not the Eriksen replacement. Are you a holding midfielder? Are you a defensive midfielder? I don't know. I don't know what he is. Someone needs to tell me because... I just struggle.
He's a jack of all trades and he's not great any single one of them trades.
I mean, I don't know. I just feel like every time I watch him, he could just be giving more. But maybe time will tell. But obviously, he didn't start in Ndombele again. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, what's going on with that? He didn't start him in the League Cup final. He didn't start him again today. I mean, obviously, I'm not a Spurs fan, so I don't watch Spurs week in, week out. But from what I've seen, Ndombele is a quality player that could get in most.
No, he is. He's definitely the best midfielder at the football club. I just think probably in recent performances, like I think the Southampton game, you know, a lot of Spurs fans felt that, you know, he was underperforming. And I think Ndombele is a good player, but again, sometimes he's not consistent. And especially for a full 90 minutes, he sometimes drops off. And I think with Ndombele, I like him, but I think he has that ability to almost look a bit lazy. And I think that frustrates a lot of people. But I love Ndombele. I don't agree with that at all. I think he's, as I said, the best midfielder at the football club. He's the one that can provide that pass when no one else can in our team. And he's the player that can go past, you know, two or three players. We don't have that. Our midfield, I find it quite flimsy. When you look at our midfields that we used to have, you know, Moussa Dembele, Wanyama, for me, we still haven't really replaced these players. I think Højbjerg is a decent midfielder, but even Eriksen, we've not replaced him. I mean, he was so key to how we played. You know, we massively underestimate him. You know, the assists, even the goals at times. He would give us a couple of goals this season. That's why I think our midfield is a bit of a concern. Where there's no goals from midfield, there's hardly any assists from midfield. So that's why players like Kane are having to drop deep and provide for the team, yeah, because no one else in midfield is doing that. Compensate
for the lack of productivity in other areas, yeah, or from other players.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. My team's in the mud. It's great. I want this season to end, to be honest. Honestly, that's why I've quite enjoyed talking about other teams and not Spurs, because there's not much else to really say.
I enjoy it.
I'm sure everyone enjoys my meltdowns, but not today, boy. Yeah. Even if we lost, I was not going to melt down today because, you know, I'm used to it.
Wow, you're so rational. Like some of the Spurs supporters that I'm, they're not as rational as you. This is super refreshing. It's really, because you're just not. I get the most back on my side, and maybe it's just the company that is around me, from Spurs supporters and Arsenal, and I don't even entertain it because I just look at the table and then I just go about my business, right? It doesn't even make sense to me, because they should just be acknowledging the shortcomings of their own team, and that's not even coming from a bad place. Like, just listening to you talk, you just seem rational and you acknowledge what it is, and you already identify what you need to change. Like, there's people that are just not taking that accountability for themselves as supporters and realizing that there are key things that are missing from your squad in order to be where you think you need to be. Like, they talk like they should be in a certain place, but I'm like, but do you have all the pieces of the puzzle to even make that happen? And they don't acknowledge that they think they deserve it. And I'm like, I won't even engage in a conversation like that, because it's like, it would get me, and like, this is so refreshing. And
it's hard, though. You don't ever lower yourself to their level.
I hear you for sure. I mean, Jose Mourinho, I think, caused a bit of a stir amongst Spurs fans. I think there was a lot of divide in the fan base. You know,
Jose tends to do that.
Yeah, he does. And to be honest with you, look, I don't think I was a Jose outer. I had my reasons for that. But do I think it was right to sack him before final? I don't think so. I think it was silly.
It didn't make sense
to do that. You know, you bought in a serial winner, and then you sack him and don't allow him to do what he was brought in to do. It makes no sense. And to put Ryan Mason in that position. His second game managed in a final against Pep Guardiola, serial winner. I think it's criminal. And
I thought he was going to take off his suit and come on.
Honestly, it's just like,
and I was just like,
that's is criminal. Tottenham all over. We're a mess from top to bottom. And I think, you know, the same energy that we've got for players and managers, that's why I'm going to be there at the protest, because these owners are just, some of the decision making, I think it's cost us. I mean, under this ownership, we've won one trophy. It's not good enough. Yeah. I'm not saying we should be winning Premier Leagues and Champions Leagues, because we're not at that level, but I think we are good enough to win like an FA Cup here and there, or a League Cup, and get top four. I think that's realistic. And we've not done that. One trophy. Yeah. That's not good enough. And the recruitment's been poor, you know. Even appointing Jose Mourinho, I don't think it was the smartest idea. When you look at the ideology of our football club and you look at Jose Mourinho, it just doesn't match. It doesn't work. So we got loads of issues, but we got the win today.
What about the stadium?
I couldn't care about the stadium.
What about the stadium?
No. I don't want to hear it, right? Because this annoys me, right? When I talk about Daniel Levy and his owners, oh, but we've got the stadium. I couldn't care less about the stadium. A wise man once said, okay, shout out to Poch, You know, you don't buy a nice house if you don't have the furniture or something along those lines. And it's true. Yeah. I would rather us actually have a squad that is capable of, you know, getting top four consistently, winning trophies, and then, who knows, challenging for a league, then building a shiny stadium. At least at White Hart Lane, we were unbeaten for a whole season. I will take that mashup stadium any day of the week. I don't care about things like that, honestly.
You see what you started, though, Az. You see what you started, and you knew exactly what you were doing as well.
I know. He was just trying to get a reaction now.
I'm sorry.
Trying to trigger her again.
I'm easily triggered. I need to...
I don't understand why you're doing this, Boaz. But, Boaz, seeing as you like to chime in, what kind words do you have to say on Spurs' part?
Be nice, please.
You know what? Yeah, I've had a few weeks of being... horrible towards Tottenham because I'm a Chelsea fan. That's what we do. And Tottenham is, I think Tottenham is not necessarily universally hated, but quite disliked by other fans, unfortunately.
Rivals. I don't get it. Like, anyway.
It's your own fault. It's your own, like, your own doing, to be honest. But I've been told to be nice. So what I would say is it was a very good performance by Tottenham's side. It was good to see Bale back in a Tottenham shirt, scoring a hat trick. Good performance. You beat the team already relegated, bottom of the table. But you did so in style. And you know what? That's great. That's what you need. Like, I think sometimes, like, you need to sit back and just generate momentum, win games.
I don't think this is sincere at all.
No,
I really don't.
What I would say is it was a good performance. Like, there are some things wrong with Tottenham. But Tottenham got 3 points on the table, and that's what's important. And congratulations, Tanya. Your team did well.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Some positivity and love.
That sounds so condescending.
Obviously. I know.
I was happy to see Bell score a hat trick, though. I like Bell.
Thank God Rich is not on this podcast. Because
no, but like, he's a really good player. Like, he's obviously had his moments where he's had, you know, bad press and. I think he fell out of love with football, if I had to be honest. But he does seem to be happy playing football, being on the pitch. And I think that showed today. So, yeah, I'm happy for him.
Yeah, me
that's
too.
That's anyone.
Because I don't think Jose, he clearly didn't fancy Gareth Bale. And I got a bit annoyed at that because I feel that a lot of games we could have, you know, done with the Gareth Bale coming on. And he didn't want him playing, but you're seeing, you know, that is what he's capable, Gareth Bale, especially set pieces. I mean, I have to say quickly on Harry Kane, please, I love him to pieces, right? But any free kicks, it's not for you, my brother. Please, please.
Has he ever scored a free kick?
I think he has. He has scored a few, but.
Like once in a blue moon.
Once in a blue moon. I mean, that's probably the only thing he doesn't have in his locker. But he should just
quite
not.
I'm surprised that he's not good at dead balls.
He's so bad. He's so bad. But anyway, we digress.
Yeah, I was going to pose a question to Tanya. Which manager are you taking at Spurs? Because obviously there's been a lot of media attention and which manager could potentially be taken over at Spurs. Some I've laughed at, some I've pondered about, and some I've just like kind of put my phone down and just, yeah, try and forget about
it. I mean, this again, it's, I'm hearing different names every week and all the top managers.
Nuno.
Oh, please. If we get Nuno or Southgate, I think I'm just going to have to be a neutral. I'm going to have to be a neutral. Seriously.
Southgate is definitely a top 10 finish.
I'm telling you. Look, I wanted Nagelsmann. That was my top choice. And if I'm being honest, I was silly to think that he would ever come to Spurs. He was an unattainable target, in my opinion. He was always going to go Bayern. I liked the idea of Ten Hag. And again, it doesn't surprise me that he wants to stay at Ajax. Why would you want to come to Tottenham? And this is the thing. If you're a manager, a top manager, by the way, why would you want to come to Tottenham? That's what we have to ask ourselves. We've got an owner who is a control freak. He has to be in charge of all of the transfers. Who doesn't like to back managers. You know, we're in a situation where we need a massive rebuild. It's a big job. So I think if you're a top manager and you've got things easy, happy, comfortable. Why would you want to leave that? So I can't blame these managers rejecting Spurs. Brendan Rodgers as well. I can't blame him. Leicester are going to get top four this season and potentially win a trophy. They're being linked with a really good player from Lille. They've got such a good recruitment set up. Why would he want to leave that? So, as I said, Nagelsmann was my top choice. I would try and get Rodgers in. I would. I know Leicester's in a good position, and I did just say, why would he leave? But that's who I would want next. And if that doesn't work, maybe we might have to go for like a Graham Potter. And that might sound crazy, but you know what? He plays good football, and he can bring Bissouma, Lamptey, Lewis Dunk. Bring them over. Bring them over. I'm happy with that. That's what it's come to. Graham Potter. No, he's not ready. At least Potter's been in the Premier League for, what, is it two seasons now or a season or two? Yeah, he's got experience, you know.
Good football as well.
Champagne football.
Even Potter is a bit of a champagne stretch.
Football. Graham Potter can do that, I guess.
Don't look. But guys, Bielsa? I'm looking at... Yeah, Bielsa, I mean...
You'd take Bielsa.
I would take Bielsa. I would. Yeah. I would take Bielsa. I have to be realistic. I just think these top managers, they're not going to want to come to Spurs. They're just not. I'm thinking Ancelotti, he's at Everton. Rodgers, he's at Leicester. I've already said Ten Hag, Nagelsmann. Who else is there? I think Sarri was linked, but I'm not sure now if he's going to come. The other one was Allegri, but I think he's going back to Juventus. So
yeah, I want Allegri.
There's no one else. So I'm going to have to... No. You were like the 100th Chelsea fan to say, Frank Lampard, would you take him? Do you want me to be in A&E?
I don't know why you're even listening to Boaz at this point in time.
I know.
Completely trolling you right now.
We'll just have to wait and see. We'll probably end up sticking with Ryan Mason. It wouldn't surprise me.
Keep saying, Tanya, 6-year contract is coming.
Oh, God.
He's getting tied down. He understands the club.
Yeah, our DNA is bottle job. That's our DNA.
It's
called. Oh, dear. Anyway.
Yeah, I definitely feel as if you have to present a project and something that a manager is willing to invest in. If not, then it's going to be very hard to lure them in. Last question. Sorry, Kiana?
I said if you're going to give a manager a project like that, you want an ambitious manager. Like something that's... deter them, and they feel that they can make that type of impact and prove that they're wrong.
100%. Last question on Spurs, and I'll pose it as an open question: is Harry Kane staying?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think it's got to a point now where I actually would question him if he stayed. I would question his ambitions.
Yeah,
because we're not in a position to be winning Premier Leagues and Champions League, because I just think he's a player that deserves that. He deserves it. And he has to look at his career. He's not going to be looked at. He's not going to be considered world-class if he just ends up finishing his career as top goal scorer in the Premier League. It's a great achievement, but I just think, I still think he's a world-class player, right? But I mean, he's not going to be in the same bracket as like an Henry or an Aguero, because he hasn't won anything. And he'll know that. He's actually said in an interview in 2017, if 3 years I haven't won a trophy, I'd be very disappointed. So I just think now it is definitely the last straw. I saw his body language in the game tonight. Something's not right for me. I think he looks like he's done. And I can't blame him. I think... To be honest with you, a lot of Spurs fans, I find they're a bit too sentimental. I think they don't want us to sell Kane, but at the end of the day, we're in a position where I think there are so many players that need to go, and we need so many players in. We don't have loads of money. Kane's going to get us loads of money, so it makes sense. It could be the best thing that we end up doing.
Maybe sell Kane, reinvest.
Yeah, I think we might have to do it. We might have to, but... It's obviously heartbreaking because he's such a talent, and you see how we play. I don't know where we would be without Kane, but it's not fair to him. But I just think, unfortunately, he's on a big contract. Levy's going to make it so difficult for any team coming in for him.
Well, he's had about
150 million,
so not a lot of clubs in world football can afford that.
Exactly.
Probably the super clubs, no pun intended. Man United.
I can see him going United, but I don't know if United, if they're going to pay that big money.
I don't know if you guys are willing to do it. Willing to negotiate with United either, so
yeah, there you go. That's the thing, Levy. He's going to make it difficult, and he's going to be forced to stay, and then he's going to be an unhappy player. I can just see it panning out that way. I really can, which is a shame for him.
I definitely feel as if Levy owes it to him for Harry Kane being such a servant to that club. Like you said, taking you as far as you can go, couldn't possibly do any more. So if it gets to a point where Tottenham is still not winning trophies, you should respect that the ambitions of a player and grant him his wish. Boaz, I'll go to you about the Harry Kane. Do you think he's going?
I think the only reason he should stay is if a new manager comes in, the new manager sits down with him, with Levy, and they're like, "I'm going to build a team around you. Who do you want?" I think that's the only reason he should stay. If that's not happening, he needs to go.
You've got to give him a reason to believe in the project.
And I think the project should be based around him. But if I had to be honest, I don't think he wants that project anymore. The time came for that project to be at Tottenham, and it went. So they chose to spend £1 billion on a stadium rather than on a team. And I think that goes to show what Tottenham want. So I think what's best for Kane's career, and I guess for England, is for Kane to be at a big top side, get the goals, get the accolades, and yeah.
What are you thinking, Kiana? Kane to Liverpool?
Oh, that would be dangerous. Oh dear.
I'm not scared he's going to go to Man City.
Could do.
That's saying. It's either one of the Manchesters, but like you guys were saying, I watched that interview after the Carabao Cup, and like the language, and just, you know, when players are like, even, you know, when someone's just like their eyes and the way that they're talking, they don't match. Like, to me, it's disheartening because you bring in a new manager, and then you sack him. Like it was just so drastic. And then as a player, you're thinking that there's going to be, I don't know, I would think that there's going to be changes that you can look forward to, and then have that happen. I'd just be like, what's next? Like, that was so drastic. Like, what's next? Or are they what's the plan? Like, it just doesn't seem like there's any type of plan. And I, as a player and someone who is like crucial to the success of the team, he's legit carrying that team on his back. And for it to seem like there's no investment outside of that, like all the comments that I read under that video, no one was dissing the guy in any way. It was like actually really sweet to see these comments. They're like, you deserve better.
Yeah. We'll
always always love you. We'll support you wherever we go. Like, and he definitely deserves that. Like the player of his caliber, for sure. Like what else can you do to show this club that they need to invest and build something around you? Like, if that's not the plan, then you have to go, because what else do you need to do? What else does he need to do?
Exactly. No, I agree. And Spurs fans won't begrudge him if he wants to leave. Cause like you say, I think a lot of us, we even say it, he deserves better. He does. He doesn't deserve this. Like, he's stayed around for project after project after project. And I just think he's better than that. You know, he's given us, you know, a long service, and yeah, it's only right he finishes his career, because he's what, 28 now, and he's injury prone as well. Yeah. So, you know, he needs to move on and try and get some trophies.
Let him go. Tottenham for keeping him there this long.
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised.
That's not easy.
Him for this long.
Like, his salary is so poor as well. Like, comparing to like other strikers, he's earning basically nothing for the player that he is. So yeah, like, Tottenham did a great job keeping him.
I think he's quite loyal to Tottenham, though. I think he would love to win a Premier League with Tottenham. I genuinely believe that, or any trophy, and I think that's what stopped him. But I think now he's probably having to put that aside and think about his career, which is absolutely fair. He should think about that.
Yep.
So yeah, we'll see what happens in the summer. It'll be interesting. It would be very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Look good in red. Don't you think, Tanya?
Sorry? What was he saying?
I think he said he looks good in red.
Oh, God. No. Honestly, I'd hate if he went to another Premier League club. That would be pain. Especially City with Kyle Walker and that would be pain.
Where would you like him go?
Anywhere but the Premier League. Go to PSG, you know, Real Madrid, anywhere but the Prem. I can't watch him in another Premier League team and make them look better. I can't bear that. But, break me.
I guess, yeah, for those that don't know, yeah, we just did a star player of the week. Who performed the best in your opinions over the last couple of games?
For me, I was actually really impressed with Welbeck this week, and Welbeck, Mount, those are the matches that I watched, and I was just like just quality players, consistent, overlooked. Like sometimes it mm-hmm. I get caught up with just like following my own club, but there's a lot of talent out there, and especially squads that face the bigger, like the big six or the bigger mm-hmm. squads. And, you know, it elevates your game and you really get to see some of these players shine. And I'm just like, wow, there's like a lot of serious, serious talent. And if these people can put the pieces together and really invest in the club, then it could be a very competitive, competitive season next season for sure.
Mm-hmm. So who's your, you can only choose one, by the way.
Oh, I can only choose one.
Sorry. Sorry to make it harder.
Oh, well, so because Liverpool didn't play today, I thought Welbeck's goal was fantastic. I was really impressed with him. He'd be my show.
Okay. Wasn't expecting that at all. But you're right. He did score a good goal. What about you, Tanya?
Can't be biased. Am I allowed to be biased? I just think it's only right.
Who this is gonna be.
To be honest, I shouldn't give it to any Tottenham players, to be fair. But come on, Gareth Bale hat trick. I know it's against Sheffield United, but they were three really good goals. And I'm just happy for him because I think when he was starting to score goals for us, I found it a little bit unfortunate that Jose kind of just dropped him after one poor game against Arsenal and he didn't really get back into the side. And I just think seeing him play today just shows you, like, I feel like Jose could have utilised him more because he is still a top quality player. So I would go for Gareth Bale, but I do want to have a special mention to Havertz. I thought he played really well. I have to big up Havertz because
those are my two choices: Gareth Bale or Havertz.
Yeah, I think those two. So you can go for Havertz then, and I'll go for Bale. Perfect.
It works. I heard the Danny Welbeck shout. As his goal was, I went, nah.
It was what? I thought he had a great. And I thought it was a great goal. That's my shout.
Yeah, no, beautiful Crowe turn, beautiful finish, but you can't ignore a careful hat trick. And Kai Havertz had a really good game as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had a feeling the Chelsea person on the call was probably going to mention it. So let me keep my...
Try and keep it unbiased, Boaz.
There are three contenders. So it's Mount.
Havertz,
I bet you. It's Mount for assist and it's performance.
How did you manage to sneak Mount into this?
That was my first nomination. My second one was Havertz. Great two goals, great performance.
Why are the two Chelsea players in contention?
I could go on. The third one, right?
Gosh.
You guessed it. No, Jacob. So the third one is actually Bell. I think I'm biased. And I was trying to be unbiased and just, you know, think of things as players, and great hat trick. I think he deserves it. I think he's performed well. Yeah, he should have started in the League Cup, and I think he proved that today. Mm. So my final choice would be Oh, it's hard. It's habits or bail.
Easy choice. Stop trying to make. Stop being so dramatic about it.
Habits or bail. I'll go with bail.
Oh, that is very big of you.
I didn't really expect that from you.
I wasn't expecting it either, actually.
The first time for everything. quickly, guys, before we go, Tanya, Kiana, if there's anything you want to plug?
Yeah. Can I plug? So I've got a podcast that I do with three of my boys. We'll talk about that later. Podcasts, also a footballing podcast. Kind of similar to this. We just talk about, you know, midweek games, Europa League, Champions League. We also got a man of the week as well. So yeah, it's very, very similar, I have to say, similar vibe.
Yeah.
We drop episodes every Wednesday, Apple, Spotify. Also use Zoom to shout out to you guys. That's what I mean. It's so similar.
Women of the future.
So yeah, check us out on Twitter. So it's at WTATL official on Twitter, Instagram, and yeah, Apple and Spotify.
Yeah, so guys, make sure to give it a listen and give it a follow.
Thanks for letting me plug. Appreciate it. Oh, and thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we'll definitely have you again at some point. Yarn, have you got anything you'd like to plug?
Sure. I'll plug a podcast that I regularly join in. So I'm based out of Canada and out of the capital city, actually, of our nation. So we have a pretty strong Liverpool supporters group out here. And the three of us usually give our weekly contribution, like post-game. So if anybody is just interested in getting some intel on Liverpool and what we talk about and, you know, just other headlines, just check out the Kitchen Island podcast. They have a Twitter feed. And yeah, it's a really good group. We're not deluded. We're pretty rational and we love ball, right? So we talk about any and anything that's related to Liverpool and just ball, period, football, period. Really, so thanks for the invite and letting me do the plug. This was like a really cool, chill vibe.
We're nothing but chill vibes in this podcast. You guys would attest to that. To be fair, a lot of our extremists are not on today. So.
you gotta let me come on when the extremists are.
Yeah,
on.
we'll definitely have you on that extremists decide to show face. We'll wrap this one up. So yeah, don't forget to follow us on all the socials. That's at The Brothers Chat on Twitter and Instagram. You can also listen to us or listen to this on Apple and Spotify. So don't forget to subscribe. But yeah, that's it. Peace.